things that they're going through, but God really spoke to me about trying to live a good Christian life. I mean, what do we really have to do to live a good Christian life? What is a good Christian life? I mean, what are things that we must do and things that we must say to just be a good Christian? I began to think about it, and the basis of becoming a good Christian is really overcoming sinful habits that we have. And there are a lot of them that I've had. Sinful habits are very, very difficult to overcome because sometimes habits are formed over a lifetime. The Christian life is an overcoming life. Even though we will definitely have problems and struggles, we will be able to overcome those because of Jesus. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you really begin to push into Him, when you really begin to spend time with Him, when you really begin to get into the Word and pray and have faith in Him, miracles happen. You get this supernatural armor that just surrounds you. And all the problems and things that you were worried about just seem to trickle away when you put your faith in God. Sometimes you just had it. Sometimes you just get so tired of praying, tired of looking for that breakthrough, tired of worrying about, what is my future going to be like? That you're literally at the point of listening to sermons. And I always run to the same three people: T.D. Jakes, Joyce Myers, and Joel Osteen. One's a great teacher, one's a great preacher, and the other one is a great encourager. And I heard this wonderful sermon by Joyce Meyer, and she was talking about removing the sin from your life. Her testimony is just, it made me feel so good because I thought my life was bad. Hers was bad too. And she came from nothing and made it all the way to the top. God pulled her up. God pulled her out of the mire that she was in. I began to really understand what it takes to be a good Christian, what it takes to really begin to see the blessings that Jesus has for you. And one of them is to overcome sinful habits. Overcome sinful habits. In John chapter 16, verse 33, it says, "I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world." With these words, Jesus told his disciples to take courage. In spite of the inevitable struggles that they would face, they would not be alone because Jesus does not abandon us in our struggles. If we always remember that we are just foreigners here on earth, our souls are on loan. What we do here right now dictates our eternity. But we've got to get rid of sinful habits. As a Christian, you are an entirely different person than before when you really accepted Jesus. I'm not talking about when you first got saved. Because I remember when I first got saved, I was saved for about a day. I was completely on fire for Christ Saturday night. Sunday comes along, and I'm backsliding again. I'm talking about when you really got on fire for Christ. When I really got on fire for Christ was years after I got saved. When I began to really depend on Him. When you really begin to depend on Him, supernatural things happen. Not say you want to depend on Him, pretend you're depending on Him. But I just had a breakthrough this morning, yesterday actually, and I wanted to preach on it tonight. We got to just speak positive words over our lives about everything. Because the words that come out of our mouth are so powerful. When the more negativity that we speak into our lives is just sending commands down to Satan to unleash more havoc in our lives. And we are responsible for completely destroying our lives and becoming depressed. But words of encouragement, words of blessings, words of honor, words that uplift Jesus, when we speak those, we are sending commands to heaven for angels to come down and minister to us. And when we begin, no matter how bad it gets, to start speaking these positive words, amazing things begin to happen. I had an amazing day today. When I start looking at it from a spiritual standpoint, from a worldly standpoint, it was a horrible day. But from a spiritual standpoint, it was an amazing day. I had amazing breakthroughs today because I spoke positive words. Habits are horrible things to try to get rid of. Man, I have had so many sinful habits. You know, you're born again spiritually. The Spirit of God lives in us. But we still have these habits that we want to change. And we go through this little justification period to keep them around. Like, I was a closet sneak cigaretter years after I got saved. I'd be smoking in the back of the church in the woods. And then I'd come in the church and wash my hands quickly like nobody could smell. And now that I've quit smoking and was delivered by Jesus, I could smell a smoker a mile away. When they come in the room, I can smell it. No matter how good they wash their hands and clean themselves. And I see people in this church coming in Sunday, you know, with wet, clean hands and wet, clean face, but I could smell the cigarettes all over their clothes. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." The God who began a good work within us continues it throughout our lifetime and will finish it only when we meet him face to face. God's work for us began when Christ died on the cross. His work within us began when we first believed in him. And that is when I realized I've been faking it. I've been going to church. I've been going to care group. I call myself a Christian. I tithe. Tithing is a hard habit to get into. 10% of your income, and I tithe gross. I could get the money in, and I could subtract all the little commissions I got to pay sales guys, or I could subtract all the expenses, and then I come up with exactly the figure that I got, and then I could tithe 10% off of that. And that is the way to do it. And when I got in the habit of doing that, God always makes sure that my finances are taken care of. Habits. Believe me, I know what it's like to feel like you're not making progress and you're stuck. But when God starts a project, he completes it. God will help us grow in grace until he has completed his work. And when we're discouraged, remember that God won't give up on you. When you feel incomplete, unfinished, or distressed, God's promises and provisions you could stand on. Don't give up. But let's work together. Let's fellowship with one another. Let's sharpen each other's iron and let's get rid of these sinful habits. You have got to get rid of these sinful habits. I love the book of Corinthians because Corinth was the modern day Vegas. There was a woman's house on every street corner. And there was liquor in these homes. And anything goes. Very sinful city. And ships would sail in there. And it was world-renowned Corinth. It was a very, very sinful city. The Christians there in Corinth were struggling. Because they were surrounded by corruption on every conceivable level. And they felt the pressure to adapt and sin like other people around them. There was idols every block. And you would get up early in the morning and you would place your sacrifice at the idol, a goat cut up or something. I mean, it was just a horrible place. So Paul was trying to get these people saved. He was trying to get these people on fire for Jesus. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, he says, "Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves or greedy people or drunkards or are abusive or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." And that is what happens. Some Christians say that people have a right to choose their sexual preference. But the Bible specifically calls homosexual behavior a sin. But Christians cannot condemn that practice. I find myself reaching out to those people. Because we don't condemn the people, we condemn the practice. It's just another sin in God's eyes. But it's another habit. We have to overcome sinful habits. Number one, and the most important thing to do, is to completely repent of our sins. This is a big one for me because it's hard to repent. And people don't want to repent because repenting means you give it to God and you're going to change. So I didn't want to repent of drinking because I couldn't drink no more. I didn't want to repent of smoking cigarettes because I couldn't do that no more. I didn't want to repent of going out late and partying because I wanted to go out late and party. I didn't want to repent of maybe having false idols and playing Xbox at 2 o'clock in the morning. I didn't want to repent because I knew that I had to change. Every single time that you realize what you've done, know that it's not putting God first, make the decision to repent for it, amazing things happen, and God begins to bless you. So the first thing we need to do is we need to repent of our sins. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones." What an amazing scripture. Truly amazing. And that in itself is one of the most important things you need to do is repent of your sins. For me, it was like, "Dear Father God, dear Lord in heaven, I know smoking is bad, Lord. It's a bad example on you, Father God. I repent, Lord. Please help me quit, Father God." And Jamel can be a witness to this. I tried and tried and tried and failed. Something would happen. I'd quit for a few weeks and it could be a bad thing would happen and stress me out and I'd backslide into smoking. Or it could be a good thing. Like I was at some wedding and everybody's having a good time. And you know, then they're out there in the yard and somebody's smoking and oh, just give me a little puff and then you're smoking again. So then you feel guilty because you repented of it. Step number one, let's repent of our sins. We have to receive God's word. We need to receive God's word. Receiving God's word means spending time with God. When we read the Bible, when we listen to preaching, when we spend time in the morning just sitting there reading just maybe one scripture, we're spending time with God. Just close our eyes and pray to Jesus. We're spending time with God. And the more time we spend with God, God will begin to change us. The Bible says that the Word of God is living and active and reveals our inner thoughts and attitudes. The Word of God is compared to a hammer that breaks rocks into pieces. It's like a double-edged sword that pierces our soul. And it's like a beautiful cleansing stream that washes all the sin and dirt away. Each and every one of us needs to spend time in the Word every single day. When I get up in the morning, I spend time with God. I grab my Bible, I go into a room that's all private, and I spend time with God. I read the Bible, and then I meditate. I read the Bible, then I meditate. And the more you spend time with God, the more you begin to pray to Jesus. Ask Father God to give you wisdom. Ask Father God, "Holy Spirit, please give me the wisdom of the Scripture." And the more you hook up to the Holy Spirit, the more you learn how to do that, I'm telling you guys, I'm not kidding you, it's like a distant radio station. It's like you're in your great-grandfather's garage, and he's got this 1930s radio, and you turn it on, and you're going through the stations. You can't hear nothing. And then there's this one little distant one. And then you keep turning it barely and tweaking it and tweaking it and tweaking it. And all of a sudden you get this beautiful station. That is what it's like hooking up to the Holy Spirit. If you continue to try to seek the Holy Spirit, continue to try to find the Holy Spirit, you will find that amazing radio station and you will hook up to it. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our inner thoughts and desires. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable." The word of God is not simply a collection of words from God. It is living, it's life-changing, and dynamic as it works in us. God's word reveals who we are and what we are not. It penetrates the core of our moral and spiritual life. We've got to receive God's word. Amen? You've got to start getting into the word. You've got to start depending on the word. It's spiritual food. You want to eat it all the time. You want the more word, the more spiritual food you eat, the more you'll be able to hook up to the Holy Spirit. And believe me, when you hook up to the Holy Spirit and you receive God's word, you start reading the Bible under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, every single scripture, every single paragraph has a completely different meaning.
Right.
You'll be able to get it. Amen? Yeah. Number three, depend on strength from God, not ourselves. It is so hard for me because I am so used to depending on my own strength. It was me that made all the stuff happen. I didn't want to depend on anybody else. How could you possibly depend on something that you cannot see for the welfare of your family? That is so hard to do. But we have to overcome sinful habits. We need to pray and ask God for help. This simple principle, dating back to the beginning of time, from relying on God's strength, is very, very important. And is the key to a successful Christian life. If you really want to know about it, Paul himself depended entirely on God's strength to overcome problems and personal struggles. In 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote about a thorn in his flesh that made him completely depend on God. People have always tried to figure out what Paul's thorn was. And if you bing it, there's all these different people. I think it was people stirring up stuff against him. Every time this man would come to town to preach, somebody would run ahead. Paul's here. Oh, it's that Paul guy. Dude, that Jesus freak is here. And they'd stir up. Psalms 121, verses 1 and 2. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. This song talks about God's protection day and night. We should never trust a lesser power than God himself. So we have to depend on God, not ourselves. Everybody understand? You must depend on God, not ourselves. Number four, let's try to live spirit-filled lives. What's a spirit-filled life? Getting up in the morning, starting out the day right with prayer, reading your Bible, submitting to authority. This is a big one for me. I don't want to submit to authority. I don't want to drive the speed limit. And now God is revealing to me that I need to follow the rules. If we're going to usher in revival here in Seattle, I have to be above reproach. I have to follow all of the rules. I have to drive the speed limit. I have to pay everything I need to pay. I have to be completely above reproach. I have to live a spirit-filled life. The Holy Spirit is like a fire inside of us that cleanses us from unholy things, including sinful habits. John the Baptist said that Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And when we are baptized with the Spirit is like a fire that burns up sin in our lives. I can tell you this. When you're under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you can feel it burn the sin out of you. Tomorrow night is revival night here. I want everyone to come. And I'm telling you what, when you get prayed for, you will feel the Holy Spirit. Amen? You will feel the Holy Spirit. You will get changed. Matthew chapter 3, 11 through 12, it says, I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming who is greater than I am. So much greater that I'm not worthy to even be his slave or carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John baptized people as a sign that they had asked God to forgive their sins and had decided to live as he wanted them to live. Baptism was an outward sign of a commitment. But in order for baptism to be effective, you need to have an inward commitment, a change of attitude, a changed life. If there is sin in your life, repent for it. Turn around. Forget it. Have faith that God's going to replace it with something so much better. When I quit smoking cigarettes, yes, I gained a lot of weight. But I really feel so much better. When I quit drinking, I can't even have a drink now. You can ask my wife. I am a one glass of wine guy now. Because I don't like the person I become. Now I understand why the Bible says it's okay to drink, but don't get drunk. Because it's really hard to drink and not go all the way. I was go all the way guy. Like if I used to be with my friends, it wasn't just go out and have a couple of drinks. No, it was all the way. It had to end in complete catastrophe so that there could be a tale that could be told. And that is the way it is in the Arctic Circle. You just don't have a drink. It was hard for me to change that sinful habit, but I repented of it. And when the Holy Spirit came upon me, it completely erased my wanting to drink. And if Jesus can do it for me, He can do it for you. You can live Spirit-filled lives. A lot of things that are sinful in themselves are not bad. Drinking is not bad. But the problem is, when you begin to drink, it opens up a doorway for Satan to get in there and make you sin. And you know as well as I do, when you drink, you start doing stupid stuff. Gambling is great when you're drinking. You do not want to open up any gateways or any doors for the enemy at all. You want to just live a good, Spirit-filled life. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs amongst yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was talking about, he contrasts getting drunk with wine, which only produces a temporary high, to being filled with the Spirit, which produces everlasting joy. Getting drunk with wine is like the old way of life. In Christ, we have a better joy, a higher and longer lasting high that cleanses our depression, clears up tension, pulls us out of trials. We should not be concerned with how much of the Holy Spirit we have, but with how much of us the Holy Spirit has. Submit yourself daily to His leading and draw consistently on the power of the Holy Spirit, and you will feel joy and peace and love that only Jesus can give you, that a bottle of booze will never solve. I am telling you, a bottle of booze will never, ever solve. Number 5. This is the final one. Replace old habits with new, better habits. Stepping out of our sinful habits is not enough. We must replace them with godly habits, such as reading the Bible, learning worship songs on the guitar, fellowshipping with our brothers and sisters. Anything you enjoy doing that gives glory to God is terrific. We should stop receiving negative influences. And this is a big one for me. When I first met my wife, she would clean out my really bad friends. They'd come over and she ran them off. But there was a few friends that I still had that were living in the world that weren't Christians that I didn't want to leave. But I didn't realize it at the time that I needed to really get rid of these friends. It's not the people that I wanted to get rid of. It was the sin in these people that they were committing. You cannot hang around with people that are going to beg you to go to the bar. Me and Jamel would be sitting there and the phone would ring. Yo, man, let's go drink. Yeah, hold on. Let's wait till she goes home. She's going to go home in a little while. And I'll meet you somewhere. And then I'd be there and I'd go and drink. The next morning, I'd feel horrible about it. But eventually, I got rid of my old friends. Brothers and sisters, that one of the most important things you have to do, and this is the biggest thing that the Holy Spirit has given you tonight, is to get rid of negative influences in your life. You've got to get rid of negative influences. Maybe you're getting on that computer after your wife goes to bed and looking at stuff. Maybe you're digging stuff up on the internet at work. Don't hang around with friends that are continually pulling you down, that are continually greedy, that are continually sucking off of your soul. I had so many fair-weathered friends. You can ask Jamel. I had so many friends. I was the most popular guy in the world. But when I stopped paying for stuff, I found out I didn't have any friends at all. And after that, it was just me and my wife. I had no friends. I had completely vacated all of the people that were bad influences on my life because they led me into drinking, into smoking, into sin. So if you really want to take a step forward, vacate those people. Amen? This is the reason why we have care group, and this is the reason why we have people to fellowship with. In Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25, it says, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Those words were written almost 2,000 years ago, but they're so true today. We have got to meet together. We have got to make a commitment to meet on Thursday evenings here. I really feel that Solo was brought here to lead worship. I really feel, young man, that you were here to change. Duke, you're here because you want to receive the Holy Spirit. Amanda, you're here because God's got you here tonight for a reason. But together, we have fellowship. Together, we form this ministry. And together, we can change our sinful habits. Amen? We have a significant privilege associated with our new life in Christ. We can grow in faith. We can get motivated with one another. We can worship together. If we don't come to this care group, we're neglecting our encouragement. We gather together to show our faith. We gather together to sharpen one another. We gather together to share our problems with one another. God gave me a vision to bring revival to Seattle. There is a saying in the Christian world, if you can lead someone to Christ in Seattle, you can do anything. There is such a liberal spirit here. But this is the vision God gave me. And this is what I'm running with. And in order to get there, we have to be the light of the world. What I want you guys to do when you go home tonight, before you go to bed,